come Holy Spirit. Wow. Some of you might be feeling really uncomfortable because you're just not used to seeing, you're just not used to room being made for God to come and do whatever he wants to do. And maybe some of you actually fairly new to church, and what you thought church was like is totally different. But I want to encourage you, if it helps, close your eyes and just tune to God. Because he's more real than the chairs that we're sitting on, the floor that we're standing on, and he loves us. And he knows exactly how to reach each one of us. Whoa. And he's made us all differently. And we all respond to the Holy Spirit differently. When the Holy Spirit touches some people, they fall over. Some people, they can't stay in their seats. They slide down under their seats. Some people just start yelling. Some people start laughing. Some people start crying. And have two people standing next, sitting next to each other, one laughing and the other crying. And you're wondering, what in the world's going on? But you see, we call that the manifestations. But that's not, the manifestations is not the Holy Spirit. The manifestations is the presence of Holy Spirit and our bodily reactions to the Holy Spirit. And we all respond differently, totally differently. And that's okay. That's, it's meant to be like that. Come Holy Spirit. We're talking about a God who's never repeated a single snowflake. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Come and fill us, Holy Spirit. Wow. More, Lord. More, Lord. Whoa. Whoa.
You see, when Jesus came, he came to talk about the heart. At that time, the religious way was about religion and, you know, trying to keep the law perfectly. Jewish law. But Jesus came with a message of love, which was about connecting our hearts with the love of God. And really, that's what we're doing. We're pressing in to love. So we don't have to be afraid, because he just wants to come and touch our hearts. And in that process, we sometimes feel hot, feel like fire's coming on us. Some of you are feeling so hot right now. The Holy Spirit's falling on you. And some of you are feeling a tingling. Some of you are not feeling anything, and that's okay. But your heart is still connecting with the Holy Spirit and the heart of God. So we make room because we want to be transformed in our hearts. We want to know God in our experience. You see, we can know God in our head, but until we've encountered his heart of love, we don't know what he's really like. And he's just wanting to come to you as you yield. You know, we just have to give ourselves permission to yield, to go there. You're the gatekeeper for the Holy Spirit. And whatever measure you want, the Spirit has been poured out and is being poured out without measure. And we know what a measuring cup looks like, don't we? We can decide how much we're going to be filled of the measure of the fullness of God. Paul says that you would know the fullness of God. And that's really hard to understand. What does that really mean? But we can ask God for another amount, another measure, faith. And we just yield and we say, yes, Holy Spirit, I want everything that you want to give me. And we open up our hearts. We open up the doors of our lives. And we say, come and show yourself, God. And so why don't we just tell him right now, I open up my heart to you, Holy Spirit. And whatever measure you want him to give you tonight, some of you are just asking for a refreshing. Others are asking for joy, peace. Some of you are asking for breakthrough. Begin to ask God for the things that you want him to come and fill you with. More Holy Spirit. Thank you for your kids tonight. They're hungry for you. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whoa. Another dose, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Wow.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Thank you,
Keep
Jesus.
Keep coming, Holy Spirit.
Another wave, Holy Spirit, across this room.
Whoa, keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep coming, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More for Middlesbrough, more for Teesside, more for each one of us in this room, more for our families, more for our friends, more for each of us, Lord, more for me, more for each of my amazing friends, your sons and daughters in this room. More, Lord, keep coming, Holy Spirit. Whoa. Break through our comfort zones. Break through our discomfort zones. Just break in, Holy Spirit, into each one of our lives. Whoa. In John 14, verse 50, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Come on. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you didn't leave us as orphans, but you sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, for each of us. Wow. I want to unpack a few things tonight. And we want to deliberately keep making room. And Holy Spirit, please come, keep coming and touching each one of us tonight. We don't want to talk about you. We want you to come and touch us. And so I give you permission to just express in any way you want to express. I'm quite used to it. I'm quite used to preaching in the midst of chaos. Wow. Whoa. But there's some keys in this passage that, wow, that will help us to understand something of the Holy Spirit. And I say something of the Holy Spirit because I believe he's completely beyond our understanding. And if you ever understand God, whatever you do, get rid of him. If you've worked him all out, and you feel that you've got him figured out and you understand everything about God, whatever you do, abandon that God. Get rid of him. He's not the real one. He's way, 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 way more incredible than you and I realize. He's way more loving than you and I realize. He's way nicer than you and I realize. He's much kinder than you and I realize. He is infinitely good and infinitely wise and infinitely loving. He's not who we think he is tonight. He's much better. Wow. And Jesus said, the Father is going to give you another helper. And that word right there, helper, actually in the Greek, paraclete, means comforter. Comforter, counselor. Different Bible translations translate that word differently. Some say helper, some say counselor, some say comforter. And because there isn't an equivalent English word for that Greek word, it means comforter, counselor, and helper all rolled into one. And Jesus said that he's going to pray to the Father, that the Father will give them another helper. The Holy Spirit, who would abide with them forever. It says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I think that's really key, everybody, that we have, that we understand that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. The world, the inclination of the world is to immediately reject the Holy Spirit. But just because the world rejects the Holy Spirit doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not real. In fact, actually, if the world rejects you because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, get excited, because that rejection is the living proof that the Holy Spirit lives in you. In fact, if you're not rejected and you're accepted by everybody in the world, you need to examine whether you're really filled with the Holy Spirit. If the world really likes you and really loves you and you're one of them, and they never tease you, and they're not, you know, aggressive towards you because you're a Christian, and they're not objectionable towards you because you're a Christian, look out. You might actually not have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Either that, or you're keeping him really well hidden. Listen, being a Christian doesn't mean that all of a sudden now you're going to be popular. If you weren't popular before, you might not be popular afterwards. And if you were popular before, you might find that the people you were popular with, they might reject you, because now you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But don't be upset by that. Rejoice, because it's the living testimony that the true Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. He's the Spirit of truth, and the world loves lies. The world loves to lie. We say, how does the world love to lie? Well, because the world loves to project that it's something that it isn't. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Everything in this world, the way human beings are wired in our fallen state, in union with sin, is that instead of living out of the perception of the things of the Spirit, we live by what we see and what we hear and what we taste and what we feel with, and what we smell with our physical senses. But how many of you know that we're not just physical beings? We're spiritual beings. Long before you came into this world as a baby, your spirit already existed. Your spirit has existed from before time began, because your spirit has come from God. And God knew you before the world was ever made. And some people say, well, the world started with a big bang. Well, let me tell you something. When the living God says, let there be light, I bet there was a very, very big bang. And because the world is used to, has trained and programmed its eyes to work everything out according to what we see and according to what we hear, they're like, well, I can't believe in God, because where is he? I can't see him. That's as dumb as saying, well, I don't believe in the wind because I can't see it. Because the reality is, just like the wind everywhere around us is the evidence that of the reality of the wind, even if we can't see the physical air, we see the consequences of the presence of the air. In exactly the same way, you can't see God, but all around you is the consequences of the reality of the existence of the God who loves you like crazy. But the Lord showed me one day that it's not just the world that cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it neither sees him nor knows him. The Lord showed me one day that it's anybody with a worldly attitude and a worldly mentality. And that, sadly, is a whole lot of the church. And when we have a worldly mentality in the church, we get upset when the Holy Spirit starts to move. Why? Well, because we feel out of control. It just suddenly feels out of control. And we just love being in control. We just love it. We're absolute addicts of control. We are control freaks. You know how I'll guarantee you you're a control freak? Because you can spot one in a heartbeat. And the only reason you don't like them is you'd like to control them, but you can't. That's why everybody's a control freak around you. Because you're the real control freak who wants to control all the control freaks. If you weren't, you wouldn't see them. You wouldn't care. You wouldn't care because you're not interested in controlling them. Shaka bongo. By the way, that's a real word. I was in Kyrgyzstan, which is on the Tenshen Mountains in the border of China. Beautiful, 5,000 meter mountain, 7,000 meter mountains, straight up, top end of the Himalayas. And I got absolutely smashed by the Holy Spirit one day. I was preaching to 300 leaders in Kyrgyzstan, very Islamic nation. Well, it was. And we were just completely, I was just suddenly, God landed on me and I was mushed. I was on the floor. I couldn't stand up. The weighty glory of God was on me. The word glory in Hebrew, one of the words is kabod, which means weighty, heavy glory. One day God came so powerfully on one of our daughters. She was only 9 years old and it took six guys to pick her up after an hour and take her to the chalet at this camp that we were at, this youth camp. It took six guys. Five of them couldn't lift her. We had to add a sixth guy to lift our nine-year-old kid and peel her off the floor. Did I say after an hour? It was after 3 hours. It was midnight. And her mom was insistent that she go to bed. And she'd been laughing uncontrollably for 3 hours with her eyes closed. Nine! She couldn't concentrate on the Holy Spirit for 9 seconds before that. And she was gone. Just absolutely gone. And when they got her to the room, supervised by her mother, Kate, right here, and they got her into bed, and when they left, she's still there. She'd been like that for 3 hours. And as they'd say north of here, a ma'am said to her, right? That's what you say, isn't it? Me ma'am. Yeah, me ma'am. Yeah, well, a mam said to her. It was her mum said to her. Or in America, her mom said to her. Abby, what's happening? She said, he's tickling me, Mom, he's tickling me. Who knew? The Holy Spirit can tickle you. I mean, that blew my theology out of the water. I mean, I was brought up in a very conservative Christian home. Missionaries, very serious. I didn't know that God likes tickling us. Well, of course he does. He's kind. He's lovely. He's an incredible dad and an incredible man. And then she just kept saying, oh, he's beautiful, he's beautiful, he's so beautiful, over and over again. I tell you, our middle daughter has never been the same since. Now she's 20 years old and she's absolutely on fire. She's so dangerous. All I can say is, God help the university that she's going to in September. They don't know what's about to hit them. A tornado of the Holy Spirit. That girl doesn't care what you think of her because she knows the world does not know him. neither can it see him. And she's not looking for the world to give her any identity whatsoever. She couldn't care less what the world thinks of her. She couldn't care less what anybody thinks of her. Except she's nice enough to be aware that you're kind and you like her. And she likes that. That would be not very nice if she didn't give a poop what anybody thought of her. Wouldn't be very nice at all, would it? But she doesn't, she's not living with a sense of being rejected. Well, around about that, I mean, it was probably about that time that I was in Kyrgyzstan, not long before that. And the Holy Spirit came on me like, well, not quite like that, just different. How I responded was different. But he mushed me to the floor. I couldn't get up. I was literally glued to the floor, and I was rolling and rolling and rolling. And then one minute I was laughing, and the next minute I was just, you know, howling with laughter, and then totally out of control. And I was rolling all over the floor, and I had some nice clothes on, and they were absolutely filthy, 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 dirty. From head to toe, because the floor was covered in dust, like that thick. And wah! And I was covered in it, in my hair, on my face, because my face is... And all of a sudden, God spoke to me. And you need to understand, everybody, I didn't have a very high value of myself for most of my life. I would speak to myself a bunch of things that did not agree with what God thought of me at all, I've come to find out. Things like, oh, you idiot, Dunk, why would you do that? Oh, nobody's going to like you in this place. You're just going to be rejected like most of the time. Oh, then you'll be abandoned because, let's face it, you're nothing, you're a nobody, you're worthless. Now, I didn't walk around thinking to myself, I think I'm worthless. No, I just had that on repeat when I did things that upset myself. Or if people acted a certain way, I would interpret it through the lens of being worthless and unworthy of anything. It just was my go-to thought pattern on the inside of me. And even though I got saved when I was 20 years old, I still didn't get uncoupled from all that thinking. I call it stinking thinking now. But you see, he's the spirit of truth, not the spirit of lies. And there's a lot of lies going on inside your head and in your heart, if you're really honest. You're like, I'm not like them over there. They're nice, but I'm screwed up. I'm not going to make it through these exams. I always fail. Oh, when I go to that job interview, I'm not going to get it. Somebody else will get it because they always get it. And of course, what do? When we believe all those kinds of thoughts? We project the super me to cover up the mini me. Oh yeah, look at my car. Aren't I amazing? I've got this amazing car. I just sold my amazing car, 707 horsepower. Dodge Challenger Hellcat. I sold it. You know why I sold it? Because my identity is not in my car. Hallelujah, finally got set free. I've spent a lot of money on all the wrong things, thinking my identity was caught up in it. What car I drive, what house I live in, what watch I wear, what clothes I wear. All because of that stinking thinking on the inside, trying to cover up the lie that I thought I was a nothing and a nobody deep down on the inside, when in reality, I'm my heavenly daddy's fantastic son. And he gave me his good looks. He made me just like him. He made me look like him. And he made me to show him off. And he made each of you. He gave each of you his good looks. Every one of you in this room is beautiful. You look like God. In fact, some of you walk around thinking, I'm ugly. And when you think like that, you're coming into agreement with Satan's verdict that God's ugly. You're not ugly. You're really good looking. And I tell you what, I know if I'd made each one of you in this room, I'd really love you. I would. You're incredible. But But you know what? In that moment, all of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit, started to speak to me, the Spirit of truth. And he said to me, Duncan, I love it that you're covered in dust right now. I'm like, oh, thanks very much. He said, because it reminds you and it reminds me that you're just made of dust. But you are dust glued together with the kisses of my love. He actually said the saliva of my love, but that's a bit gross to tell all of you lot. You and I were handmade dust. We don't have on us made in the USA or made in England or made in Canada or made in Australia or made in China or made in India. We have made in heaven. We're heavenish and we're on a journey home. And our job as Christians is to bring as much of our future home into this world now in our lives as our faith allows us to. And we do that by the Holy Spirit. And he said, Duncan, you've believed in my son, and he is the gold of heaven. And you've become one with my son because you believe in him. And that means that gold and dust have become one, and that makes you gold dust to me. You're my golden boy. Well, I went off like a rocket. I mean, I'd already been going ballistic. But when he told me that, it went into the deepest part of my being. And I tell you what, it wouldn't matter how many times, what names you were to say to me, or how much you might reject me, on the inside of me, it's non-stick Teflon. It's actually non-stick gold. Because my dad says I'm his golden boy. And so are you. And I've come to realize we're all incredible. Each one of us, absolutely unique and incredible. I mean, look at me. How many people do you know that were born in Nigeria, grew up there till I was 18, eating jollof rice, pounded yam, agushi soup, pepe soup, and all my favorite foods until I was 18 years old. British parents, British passport, emigrated to Canada 16 years ago, became a Canadian citizen, 8 years ago emigrated to America, all because God asked us to, that's all. Not because we were trying to be special. We just said yes to the call of God. And last year we became American citizens and we've still got all three citizenships. I've got three passports, so is Kate. In fact, when I go off and leave home and I go abroad, I feel like Jason Bourne. I'm like, oh.
You've got the same name.
Why? Because of the Holy Spirit, that's all. This whole world belongs to God, belongs to the Holy Spirit. And he can do with you whatever he wants to do with you. And don't you dare let anybody box you in. Because the Holy Spirit loves you. Now, don't you get all rebellious and go up to your pastors and your bosses at work and say, screw you, I got the Holy Spirit in me. Because that's not nice. That's not love. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. And love has boundaries. Love says, I can do whatever I want, but because of that, I choose you and only you. That's what love does. Yeah. So then he says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Oh yeah, I was going to say to you that I started yelling, as I went off ballistic, I started yelling, Bashenge, Buzungu, Baranga, Babalolu. like this, over and over and over again. Shikabanga, shikabenge, shikabungu, like this. And there was like a second tongue that God had given me, because when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, more often than not, you get given a new heavenly language. Okay? And I remember one guy came up to me in Southampton years ago, and he said, "Oh, I don't believe in that whole tongues business." I said, "Oh, really? Why is that then?" He said, "Oh, because," and he was only a young guy at university, same age as me. He goes, "I didn't go to Southampton University, by the way." Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, I went to Oxford. Polytechnic. That, you didn't it? There you go, see? Thought I was boasting then, didn't you? Now you're all comfortable with me again, because it was the poly. Yeah, well, I went to Oxford Polytechnic, and I'm one of the rare ones, before it became Oxford Brookes. I've got friends, you know, they've even changed their certificate. They wrote in for a new one, so they could have university on it, Oxford Brookes University. I'm actually proud I went to the Oxford Polytechnic. Anyway, this guy at Southampton University, he's like, "Yeah, I don't believe in all that tongues business." I said, "Well, why is that then?" And he's a Christian. He goes, "Yeah, well, because in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit landed on them all at Pentecost, they all spoke in tongues and they were speaking an earthly language, because it says that they could all, and all the people heard them speaking in their mother tongues," which was the Jewish people who'd been dispersed around the nations at that time of the world, like Babylon and Assyria and all these different nations, and Persia and so on, and the Medes and so on. And they were all hearing them speaking in their language. They were Jewish, but they heard them speaking in the languages, the tongues of the people that they came from. And the guy goes, "And I know for a fact that all you lot blabbing on in tongues, it's all just made up, because it's not a real language." I said, "Oh, really? How can you be so sure?" He said, "Oh, I know for sure. Doesn't sound real." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I speak fluent Hausa from northern Nigeria, and I'm relatively fluent in tongues. I'm going to speak in tongues, and then I'm going to speak in Hausa, and you don't know which one I'm speaking in first, and you, I'm going to let you tell me which one you think is a genuine language." He's like, "All right, I'll know for sure." I said, "Okay." Off I went in tongues. He's like, "Oh, that's the real one." Off I went in Hausa. "Oh, that's made up. You just made that up." I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yep, for sure." I said, "Sir, you got that totally wrong. Actually, the first one was my tongues. The second one was the real language." Right there and then, Martin, he dropped his guard, let go of the arguments. And I said, "Would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues maybe?" He said, "Yeah, I would." I laid my hands on him and he got gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Come on! So anyway, so I have a different tongue, but this new tongue that I got when I was in Kyrgyzstan, I noticed from that moment on, starting with that evening, that when I yelled out "Bajenge Buzungu Baranga Babalolu" in a meeting, all chaos would break out. So I thought, "Oh, that's pretty good." So I was using that. About 5 months later, 4 months later, Kate and I were in Michigan. And at that time, we lived in Canada, in Toronto. And we're part of a big church that was in revival, is in revival. We drove to Michigan, to Detroit, and we're in Detroit, Michigan. And I don't know if you know anything about Detroit, Michigan, but Detroit, Michigan is a serious place. You don't mess around. And there's a lot of racial tension. It's a serious place. So anyway, I'm in this church, about 300 or 400 people. And I'm Bashenge Bozungu Baranga Babalulu, and I'm preaching away. Well, at the end of the meeting, these three African ladies, black African ladies, came up to my wife and they said, "Excuse me, madam, we're from Southern Africa, South Africa, and we come from three different tribes. And your husband, where did he learn how to speak each of our native languages?" And she said, "Oh no, my husband, he doesn't speak South African languages. He only speaks Hausa from West Africa." And they said, "No, I'm telling you, he's saying the same word over and over and over in each of our language. Bajenge, Buzungu, Baranga. And it means the same word." So my wife said, "Well, you come with me." She takes them over to me, introduces me to them, and then she turns around and says, the lady says, "Yes, you, the spokes lady, you know, there's always a spokesperson in the group, isn't there?" And the spokes lady, she says, "Yeah, she's from this tribe, and this one's from this tribe, and I'm from this tribe, and you're saying exactly the same word in each of our languages. It's incredible." I said, "Well, what am I saying?" Do you know what I was saying? White people, white people, white people. I practically fainted on the spot. I'm like, for goodness sake, how can I be saying white people? That is about as embarrassing as it gets. And I said to them when I'd finally got, I mean, I was like, literally like, I said, I'm ever so sorry. And they said, "What are you sorry about?" And I said, "Well, I'm sorry that I keep saying white people, white people, white people when you're black." And and they said, "Oh, no, it's fine. It feels different when you say it. It feels heavenish." And right there and then, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "Duncan, you think of yourself as a white man, but you're not white. You're like a pinky gray tinged with brown, you know, like some of my African-American friends say, okay, you're all these different colors, each of you, and which one's colored?" Right? And I look more peach, really. Yeah, a light peach or something. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke very clearly into my heart, and he said, "Duncan, there's only one group that are white, pure white, and that's the angels. I've given you a language, a word to call the angels." Well, I thought to myself, no wonder all heaven broke out in the meetings. Well, but then I was wondering about this word Babalolu, because I didn't know what that meant. I was saying, "Bajenge, Buzungu, Baranga, Babalolu. What's Babalolu?" They said, "I don't know what Babalolu means. Never heard of it." I said, "Oh man, it's got to be a language as well." Well, wouldn't you know, a few years later, not that long, but a few years later, I'm with some friends of mine in a country called Niger, where we do a lot of missions work on the edge of the Sahara Desert in West Africa. And some of the men, Shola, are from your tribe, the Yoruba tribe. And they heard me say that. And they said, "Duncan, do you know what you're saying?" I said, "No, I have no clue. Do you?" They said, "You're speaking Yoruba, Babalolu." I said, "Really?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "What does it mean?" They said, "Oh, Babalolu." They all looked at each other. They're like, "Babalolu," like this. I'm like, "Come on, guys, what am I saying?" And they're like, "You're saying, my daddy is the Lord my God." And I realized, white people, white people, white people, angels, 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 come because my daddy is the Lord my God. Amen. Folks, listen. We live in a natural world that's being invaded by the supernatural realm of the kingdom. And the good news tonight is that the kingdom of heaven is invading your planet. It's invading Middlesbrough and Teesside, and the darkness can't do anything about it. Doesn't have a single weapon in its arsenal to do anything about it. The snake's head has been chopped off, crushed, smashed. All those demons and darkness that your friends are struggling with, every single one of them is operating at an illegal level in this world. They're imposters, thieves, destroyers, and murderers, and not one of them belongs in this world. And our joy, because our daddy is the Lord our God, our joy is to invite the entire realm of the kingdom of God, ruled by the only king of the universe, Jesus Christ, who's been given that kingdom now as a man who's fully God, who became fully man, so that all of us humans could be forever sons of God like him. And to the measure that Jesus became a human being is to the measure that you and I will share in his divinity and his deity forever and ever and ever. Think about that. To the measure that he shared in our humanity is the measure that we will share in his divine nature. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, where it says that because we have these precious promises, we've become participators in his divine nature. Come on, everybody. Upgrade yourself, for heaven's sakes. Jesus has. It's time for you to upgrade yourself in your own thinking. You're not who the world thinks you are. You're not who the world says you are. And you're most of the time not who you say you are in your own head. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor, and I'm Kate and I are pastors of a church that we started 8 years ago. It's now, you know, going very nicely. Between 500 and 600 people. And I meet people regularly. And when I listen to them talking, they'll say something like, well, I can't go on that missions trip because I can't afford it. I said, who told you that? Well, I can't get that job because I'm not smart enough. Well, wait a minute. Whoa. Who told you that? I think I did. Yeah, why don't you stop saying that sort of thing to yourself right now? Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks, so he is, or so she is. Come on. All right, now, man, whew, shikabanga. He says, oh, shikabanga, shikabungu. Would you like to know what that means? Well, I was in Australia preaching away again to a whole group of pastors on that occasion as well. And there was one black man in the entire room. And this man, lovely man, has become a dear friend, came up to me and he said, I'm from Zambia. I said, oh, really? He said, yes, I'm from Zambia. And you keep saying shikabungu. Shikabanga. Do you know what you're saying? I said, no, I don't actually. No, I don't know what those two words mean. And I've been thinking about them for a while, wondering what they meant. God gave them to me when I was in Kyrgyzstan, but I haven't found out what they meant. I found out what four other words meant. Well, this guy goes, well, my mum and dad are Christians. They got saved. That's why, and through them, I've got saved. But my parents were the first in their generation. And they start every prayer at dinner time or lunchtime when they have their food. Shikabanga, thank you for this food. Because shikabanga means Lord of all creation. I'm like, wow, that's cool. And then he says, and you keep saying shikabungu, but I don't know what that means because we don't really say it. But bungu means gathered ones. So I guess technically you're saying Lord of the gathered ones, Lord of hosts. Ooh, that's kind of cool too. All right, shikabanga. Well, anyway, about 3 years later, I'm in Mozambique. And I'm sitting with some of my favorite people in the world. These two lads that are now grown in their 30s. And I've known them since they were kids. They're Heidi's and Roland's sons. Two of her sons that grew up in their home. And Pasquale said to me, hey, Duncan, you know, you keep saying shikabanga. Do you know what that means? I said, yeah, I do, actually. It's Zambian, and it means Lord of all creation. And he goes, yeah, well, maybe it does, but in my language of Shangan, it means, shikabanga means catch the fire, the name of our ministry. Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Well, Jesus says right here, okay, that there's two dimensions of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says, The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you and he'll be in you. Well, I believe that up till this point, because Jesus had not yet gone to the cross, that nobody in history had ever had the Holy Spirit living in them. There's many, many, many people in the Old Testament who had experiences of the Holy Spirit on them, equipping them, anointing them to be priests, anointing them to be prophets, anointing them to do extraordinary signs and wonders, anointing them to lead people, and so on and so forth. Kings had been anointed with the Holy Spirit. It says that Samuel anointed David from a horn and poured oil on his head. And he was probably about 15, 16 years old. We don't know exactly. But it says that he poured the oil on his head. And then it says, anointing him as king. And then it says, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him mightily from that moment. Woo! Come on! That's what I want. Every day, that the Holy Spirit will rush upon me mightily so that I can be the best consultant, business consultant I could possibly be. Or the best mum that I could, well, not me, but you could be the best mum that you could possibly be for your three kids or your four kids or your two kids or however many kids God blesses you, even up to nine. And I tell you what, watching Margaret, the Spirit of God has rushed upon her. She's an incredible mum, an incredible worker in her job. Whether you're a pastor, the anointing is not limited to the church, everybody. But Jesus said, you've got the Holy Spirit with you, guys, kind of Old Testament style, but you're about to have the Holy Spirit in you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is an epic upgrade for human beings. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you, you become one spirit with God. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, he who has joined himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Woo! Actually, that's what my book is all about. This book is about being one with Christ. This book is a book about Christ's death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and glorification that is our death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and glorification in him. It's about how the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. It's packed full of stories of and things that I've had the joy of being witness to because the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to the reality that I'm one with Christ and Christ is one with me. How that happened and what that means in our lives and what we can do now that we're one with Christ and the kind of life that we could live on planet Earth that's actually a life that only God could live. That is the standard life that God is excited that you can start living on the Earth. It's a book, it's literally written a help so that you might know how to open blind eyes, deaf ears, loose mute tongues. I've seen 5 people now that were born deaf and mute, never heard a sound, never spoken an intelligible sound ever in their lives. And by the grace of God, when we ministered to them and prayed for them, they were instantly, or sometimes not instantly, but within a few moments, a few minutes, their ears popped open. 40-year-old woman, deaf from birth, in front of her babushka mother and her 16-year-old daughter. I tell you what, if only you could have seen a video of how much everybody freaked out when that lady started speaking fluent Russian and then turned around and told her mum to take her and her daughter home because they were starving hungry. It was just an unbelievable, epic moment. And there's all kinds of stories like that in this book. I actually would like to give this copy away. Is there anybody in this room that's interested in this book and would like it? Really? Shola, it's for you, I'm telling you. Sorry, he actually was a very... I'm not picking on him because he's Nigerian and he's now my friend and he knows my brother Murray who went to Newcastle University. He went to university with my brother Murray. Well, he didn't go to university with him. They were both together in Newcastle. When Murray was at church, he went to the same church. You were at the university at the same time. Awesome. Come on, Shola, enjoy that book. Yes. And I'll happily sign it for you afterwards. And anybody else, I'm afraid you'll have to buy it, but because the publisher won't let me give them all away. Because you find that out, by the way, when you write a book. It's not your book. And so there's two works, the Holy Spirit in you, for your salvation. The presence, the moment you invited Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit came and took up residence on the inside of you, and you can't get rid of him. You're in an eternal union. If you're truly born again, if you were truly born again, you are in an eternal union with God. You can never get unborn again. Now, you can demonstrate you were not born again in the first place if you live your life with no evidence of the Holy Spirit at all. Take a serious pill of self-examination and work out, did I really, really get saved? Because if you didn't, you're in as much danger as you were before you thought you got saved. Because the evidence that you got really, really saved is that sin is really uncomfortable for you. See, before we sinned, before we got born again, I mean, when we sinned, we could just sin and it didn't matter. We just did whatever we want. But then after we got born again, all of a sudden now, we can't get away with the same things. Have you noticed that? In fact, the devil likes to tell you that as a Christian, sin's easy and righteousness is really hard. It's impossible. But actually, it couldn't be the opposite. That's the furthest from the truth. The truth is that as a Christian, righteousness is really easy. It's actually our new true nature, everybody. It actually is really hard to sin. Think about it. If you want to sin, you have to be deliberate. You have to think it over. You have to weigh it all up. You have to weigh the consequences. Am I going to get caught? Will they find out? Will my wife ever know? Will my mum and dad ever know? Will my husband ever find out? You have to weigh it all up. I mean, it's hard. It's not natural to you. Why? Because you're one with Christ. You've got a new nature on the inside. Come on, everybody. That's the Holy Spirit's work on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is in you, welling up out into eternity, according to John 7:37, 38, and 39. Now, the Holy Spirit at work in you is for you. He living in you produces his fruit. Patience is not a human virtue. I don't know if you found that out yet. Joy is not a human virtue. Goodness is not a human virtue. Self-control is not a human virtue. Love's not a human virtue. But I tell you what, when you get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and you're born again, all of a sudden, all of God's virtues start to manifest in you in ever-increasing measure. And you don't become patient by trying hard to be patient. That will give you constipation. And you won't look nice while you're trying to be patient. You won't. You'll look like one of those control freaks again. But instead, just step back. Let the Holy Spirit flow through you. He is eternally patient. And he'll produce patience in you. And somebody will cut you off on the A19. And you'll be like, go your merry way. Before you're like, oh, shoot, I'm a Christian. Of course, I know that's none of you. But you'd be amazed how many Christians suddenly, when somebody cuts them off, decide to take a temporary hiatus and a little sabbatical for a few minutes as a Christian. Let's just put Jesus to one side, put my whole life on sabbatical. and they're back in church on Sunday. I think the worst thing that I could ever imagine happening to me would that I would do that on my way to church and then find out that it was one of my parishioners that cut me off. You have to be really careful when you're a pastor in a local community. Come on. That's the Holy Spirit in you. And a lot of Christians settle there. They're like, yeah, that's good enough for me. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. In fact, I was on the mission field for 18 years with my parents, who were missionaries for 20 years, and everybody in the entire mission and the entire church, that's what they believed. That was the only and final work of the Holy Spirit. When I got saved and bumped into a bunch of people at Oxford Poly that were absolutely on fire, and they started talking to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm like, the Holy who? They're like, the Holy Spirit. I was saying to them, how come you guys are just so on fire? When I look into your eyes, there's fire coming out. There's like liquid love, boom, coming out of your eyes, and you're just more excited about Jesus than anybody I've ever met in my whole life. What is going on? And they're like, well, Duncan, we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what? Isn't he like the dove? Like that little dove. And they're like, well, yes, he did come on Jesus in the form of a dove, but when he comes on you, he'll come on you in the form of fire. I'm like, whoa, I want that. I went into the secret place. I started asking God. There's two ways that you can get the second dimension of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure there might be other ways too, but two ways I want to tell you tonight. Because the Holy Spirit in you is not the only dimension of the Father's intent for your experience and Jesus' intent for your experience of the Holy Spirit. There's a second work, and that's the Holy Spirit on you. The Holy Spirit in you, as Bill Johnson says, who's a great preacher and great pastor, the Holy Spirit is in you for you, but he's on you for others. And I think that's a brilliant way of saying it. We've said for years he's in you for your transformation, and he's on, wants to come on you to transform the world around you. But I think Bill's is better. In you for you, on you for others. So easy to remember. My parents worked in Nigeria, and no offense to my parents, because my parents are now drunkards in the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, dangerous to the max. They're about the most dangerous 70-something-year-olds that I know. But when they were missionaries, they didn't know. They were in the evangelical church. They didn't know that there was the Holy Spirit on you. They just knew the Holy Spirit in you. And for 10 years, they worked among a tribal people group called the Kanuri people. Have you heard of Boko Haram? Well, that's the Kanuri people and the Hausa people. Well, my parents worked among them for 10 years in Maiduguri, which is the center of all this stuff in Borno State that's been going on with Boko Haram. In their 10 years, they saw 6 people give their lives to Jesus. In 10 years! You know why? Because it's very rare that you will ever win an argument with a person who believes in Islam. It's very rare that you will ever win somebody and convince them to turn away from the Prophet Muhammad and follow who they believe is the Prophet Isa and recognize that prophet as the Son of God. It is extremely rare and extremely difficult. But if you open their blind eyes, they'll give their life to Jesus in a split second. You know why? Because Allah, their God, has never said a single word to them. He's never done a miracle. And he's never spoken a word into their heart. And you know what? That might be the Holy Spirit. I'd answer him if I was you. The Holy Spirit on you, the fire of God on you, is for you to be a phenomenal witness. And you don't witness best with this. You witness best with what God does through these, your hands. And when you take those hands and you command, as I had the joy and the privilege, for example, in a strict, staunchly Islamic village in Niger, Niger Republic, we showed the Jesus film, and then we said, does anybody in the crowd need healing? And there was a big crowd that were watching the movie. And nobody moved a muscle. And then they pushed this girl out, and everybody started sniggering. She was 15 years old, and she had her hand inside her wrap, her zenny, as we call it in Nigeria. She had it all tucked away like this. And when she pulled it out, her hand was small and withered like that. Completely shut, clammed shut. Never opened her elbow or her wrist or her hand in her life. She was born like that. And when she pulled her hand out like this, the whole village started laughing. Why? Well, because she's one of those that Allah's cursed. She must have done something wrong. That's why she's like that. They're laughing at her. I'm standing in front of her. This was my first time in that nation. And my first withered hand. And I'd seen God doing amazing things. More than 20 blind people healed at that time. Already healed, seen the Lord heal several deaf and mute people. But my heart was coming out of my chest. Because there were men who had their hands on their swords. Fulani men who would happily chop my arm off with the machete. Because of the fact that I was witnessing to them about Jesus. But they were all standing there, mesmerized. And I put my hand out like this, and I said, I told her in Hausa to put her hand. Kisa hanunki ahanuna yenzu. Put your hand out and put it on my hand. I speak fluent Hausa still. Yarinya, kibude hanunki yenzu. Young girl, open your hand right now. She looked into my eyes, and I'm smiling. And love is pouring out of my face into her face. And all of a sudden, I could tell she forgot about all the people that were laughing at her. And right there in front of us, she went. Yeah, glory to you, Jesus. And then they pushed this boy out. And again, everybody started laughing. All the kids started laughing. And they're going, 15 years old, and he looked 10. And he was deaf, stone deaf from birth. I put my licked fingers into his ears and commanded that spirit of deafness to come out of his ears and come off of him. And I rebuked that devilish spirit on his generational lines. And all of a sudden, he started grinning. And I knew that he could hear. I said, can you hear me? And he said, eh. Can you hear what I'm saying to you? Yes. I said, okay, turn around. Kajuye. Turns around. I said to him, say what I'm saying to you. Deya, one. Bu, two. Uku, three. I skipped four. Five. Straight to five. He skipped four. Straight to five. The whole crowd went ballistic. And when I asked them if they wanted to give their lives to Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Isa, Mashiach, their Messiah, they all put their hands up that I could see. I'm sure there were some that didn't. 10 years, six people. 10 years, six people. With the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. One moment with the Holy Spirit on you and a whole village. See the difference? I give glory to God. It was certainly nothing to do with me. I'll guarantee you. But the thing is, the thing about the gospel is that now that you're in Christ Jesus, it's not like it was for John the Baptist when he said, I pray that he'll increase and I'll decrease. God doesn't like that. That's not the purpose of the new covenant. That's nice and convenient for us. Oh, God, you increase, I'll just decrease. But humility is not denying who you are. That's never humility. Humility is giving glory to the one who's made you who you are. Right? By the way, if you need the loo, just get up and go to the loo anytime, all right? Because I'm just going to go on and on tonight. Because I want you... you're right, I'm not. I'm just joking. I do want you to be free to get up and go if you need to. But the... What was I just about to say?
A village was saved.
No, after that.
Humility.
Humility. Thank you. Humility is never denying who you are. And you are a son and a daughter of the King. And you've got God on the inside of you. And you can have God packed on the outside of you. You can come, as we say in America, you can come packing. What that means is you're fully loaded with a gun. And folks, in America, when a police officer wants somebody to stop, they'll say, hey, stop! Or I'll shoot! They've got authority. They've got authority from the US government. They can say, stop. And that's authority. And if you don't stop, they'll pull the power out. And the power's in the gun. And they'll stop you with the gun. And you'll stop. They've got the power to back up the authority. Now, we're not used to power and authority in England because the police officers don't have a gun. So the police officer has to stand up and say, hey, stop! Or I'll say stop again! Or maybe throw my stick at you! Right? And most Christians, they don't even have authority, even though they're actually kings. And they don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't have his authority. But even if they have authority, they may not have the power. See, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is what gives you the authority. You can say, be healed or be cleansed, just like Jesus did, because you've got Jesus living on the inside of you. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've got Christ. You've got God inside you. You can tell that devil in Jesus' name, go, and it will go. Why? Because you've got God on the inside of you. That devil might actually listen to you. But like any criminal who sees that you as a police officer might think you have authority, but if you don't have the power to back it up, they'll just keep running. And you know what? That demon will just sit there on the inside if all you have is authority. Now, authority is good, but you need to back that authority up with some power. And you get the Holy Spirit in you for you and authority, but you need the Holy Spirit on you so you come packing with power. That's the flame on your head. The oil on the inside of you is the presence of God. But you need flame on that oil. It's not good enough just to have oil. You have to have a fire on that oil for your light to shine properly. Do you get that, everybody? And that's what the Holy Spirit on you is all about. And God wants to come tonight and he wants to light the oil on top of your little head. And give you, as we were talking about last night, Paul introduced this. He spoke about God wants to put a flame on the top of your head. But there's not one single one of us in this room that God hasn't purposed to open blind eyes, to heal people with flu at work, to heal people with coughs and colds. Why don't you make it your ambition to cause pharmacies all kinds of trouble and perhaps even go out of business? Not to be unkind, but just because you're bringing something way better than a pharmaceutical treatment to a coffin cold, you're bringing the living God and demonstrating how much he loves people. What would it look like in your workplace if you started becoming seriously dangerous because you realize, I don't just have the Holy Spirit in me, I've got the Holy Spirit on me. And you say, well, how do I get the Holy Spirit on me? Two ways. One, in the secret place, you ask. I asked for 9 months in the secret place. Two, in the public place, you go and ask people that are anointed if they'll lay hands on you and give you the anointing, give you the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean you have to run up to Reinhard Bonnke or Pastor Martin or maybe Ian or Margaret or somebody or Paul, you know, the anointed ones, get the anointing, or Duncan Smith, get the anointing? Well, yeah, you'll get anointing for them, from them. But I tell you what, you can get even more anointing from a child that's anointed. Because you see, it's not, God doesn't give you your measure of anointing according to the person's measure. He gives you your measure of anointing according to the measure of his fullness on that person. So let's say I go up to Ian, and I ask Ian, I want you just to lay hands on me and just fill me with the anointing. Now, when he does that and he puts his hands on me, the anointing that's on him, not in him, that's for him, but the anointing that he carries is transferable, like oil. Imagine if his hands were oily and he put them on my head, what would happen to my head? It would start getting oily, right? And so now I got that anointing on me, on my head. I got fire. Imagine if he had fire in his hands, he's taking from the fire and putting it on me. Now, when he puts that fire on me, that doesn't diminish his fire, but now I'm lit. Now I'm lit. Now I'm dangerous. Now the devils start running away from me until they realize that I don't realize how lit I am. Then they all start coming back again. It's all about knowing who you are and who Christ is in you. That's why I wrote that book. Because God put it in my heart. I want you to tell my people who they are in Christ, in me. So you, when you know that you're anointed. 9 months in the secret place asking God. And then I got anointed. And you know why it took 9 months? Because it took 9 months for me to get over my unbelief. I'm really excited for you guys. I reckon about 9 seconds for you. 9 seconds for you. Tonight, we want to lay hands on you and give you the anointing. And if you're really hungry for the anointing, God will anoint you tonight. And your life will be changed. You'll be different. There'll suddenly be an acceleration of power in your life. You won't be restricted. There'll be greatness of the kingdom flowing through you. When I was a kid at university, Kate gave me a tape. That's how long ago that was. Cassette tape of Reinhard. She'd been to Germany, to Frankfurt, for Fire 88. Fire Conference 1988. And her and her family, her dad took them. She came back with a cassette. Her dad came back with 2 cassettes, and she gave me one of the cassettes, Reinhard Bonnke. She said, I think you'll enjoy this. Flip, did I enjoy it, man? It completely busted me open. It just wrecked my whole life. And I just was like, I couldn't stop listening to those 2 cassettes. I listened to them over and over and over and over and over. Then I read his book, Mighty Manifestations and Evangelism by Fire. I was just totally, totally eating up everything that I could get a hold of that Reinhard Bonnke had done. I started sowing into his ministry. I think £25 a month, which was a lot of money when I was at university in 1988. And one day, in my 3rd year, nobody was looking. And I got down, so overcome with hunger and thirsting for the anointing. One day I got down on my face. I'd already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That all happened in my 1st year after 9 months. But now I'm in my 3rd year and I'm hungry for God like more than ever. And I lay down on the floor and I'm crying into the floorboards. And I'm saying, Father, God, with all my heart, I ask you that you would give me a double portion of the anointing on Reinhard Bonnke's life. Now, that's a big prayer. But nowhere in the Bible does it say you can't ask for a double portion. And I said, Lord, I don't know how you could ever orchestrate for me, little me, 23 years old, to ever meet this incredible man of God. I don't even know where he is in the world. But God, I pray, it is the prayer of my little boy's heart today, my young man's heart today, that you would give me a double portion of his anointing and you'll make it happen. And I'll know that it is you answering this prayer because he will put his hands on my head personally in a personal moment, not just in some, you know, random moment, but in an incredible orchestrated moment by you, God. And I never forgot it, and neither did God. 17 years later, I'm in Toronto. My walls in my office were plastered with Reinhard Bonnke posters to remind me of the importance of salvation and the lost. And I'm with John and Carol. We'd just gone to get our Canadian passports, and all of a sudden my cell phone goes off, and it's one of my team. Hello, Ramesh. Duncan, I'm just down in the restaurant just down the road, Kelsey's. I'm just down in Kelsey's, and you'll never guess what. But Reinhard Bonnke's right here. I said, you're kidding me. John, Ramesh says that Reinhard Bonnke is in Kelsey's. And John goes, Carol, Duncan, come with me. This is the moment. We're going to go. Now, I'd never told John what I told you about my prayer. I'd never told anybody apart from Kate. I tell you what you ask God for in the secret is very important to him. And if you hang out with God in the secret place, he will make sure he hangs out with you in the public place. That's how it rolls in the kingdom. And I got my... John got bundled me into the car, Carol into the car. We drive down to the restaurant and John's like, what are we going to do? I said, I have no idea what we're going to do, but leave it with me. I'll think of something. We park up outside the restaurant. I walk into the restaurant and I'm like this. I walk in. Him. And I'm like, oh, excuse me, Evangelist Reinhard. I realize this is, you know, not proper etiquette to interrupt you. I leaned over to the guy, turns out to be the executive director of CFAN Canada, sitting opposite him with his wife. And I said, I'm ever so sorry. Now they've now become friends. I'm ever so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But evangelist. And I just started talking at 100 miles an hour. It's the best thing to do. Just keep talking. I won't interrupt you. I said, evangelist, when I was a young guy at university, and you've always been my hero, but when I was a young guy at university, my father-in-law, who's now become my father-in-law, went off to Frankfurt, and he came back with these cassettes, and my wife, who's now my wife, gave me these cassettes, and I listened to them over and over and over and over and over and over again, and now I'm working with John Arnott and Carol Arnott, and they're outside waiting, and we'd love to meet you, sir. Sir. And he said, oh! I will just fill the bill and then I will be, and he said, I'll join you. And he was really nice, super nice. And I'm like, thank you very much. I never told him about my request to God. You don't need to. You never, ever, ever need to self-promote yourself. In fact, the worst thing about self-promoting yourself is that you're denying yourself the opportunity of the living God promoting you. And he's just a lot better at promoting you than you are. Shakabanga. I'm standing outside with John, and we're waiting for just 5 minutes at the most. And out comes this great man of God striding across the car park towards John, Carol! And he gives them a big hug. My friends, you know. And I'm and then he hugs me. And we're standing there. And John Arnott, okay, says, Reinhard, you've been... This is Duncan Smith. one of my right-hand men. I'm like... And he goes, you've been one of his heroes his whole life. And Duncan can actually do your accent fairly well, Reinhard. And Duncan, why don't you show Reinhard your accent? Well, I thought, this is not going to plan. John, what are you doing? And so I did one of his messages, the first opening line. Little children, it is the last hour. And if it was the last hour 2,000 years ago, then let me tell you, tonight is the last second of the last hour. And, well, of course, Reinhard laughs his face off, and he turns around and he says, oh, young man, when you were just preaching my message, I haven't preached that for a long time, John. And when you were preaching like that, you had no accent at all, not at all. And then John goes, yes, and Reinhard, you do a lot of work in Nigeria, don't you? Oh, yes, John, absolutely, absolutely, got it. And he's going on about Nigeria for a few moments, and then John turns around and says, yeah, well, Duncan was born in Nigeria and grew up in Nigeria. His parents were missionaries in Nigeria, and Duncan can do a really good Nigerian English accent. Duncan, why don't you show Reinhard your English Nigerian? I'm thinking, what are you thinking? Calm down, Pastor. But I knew it was no moment to get all shy. Because humility is never denying who you are. Humility is giving glory to the one who's made you who you are. Set yourself free to fly for heaven's sakes. Stop keeping yourself small. That's exactly what the devil wants. You are way bigger, way more beautiful, and way more powerful, one with Christ, than you ever give yourself credit for. Stop apologizing for yourself. You're daddy's best, and he's incredibly proud of you, and you are very, very, very dangerous. That's why the devil wants you to shut up. And so I said, so John goes, Duncan, show Reinhard your accent. I'm like, what in the world? Okay, here we go. In the name of Jesus, turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. The word of God says, oh my gosh, Reinhard laughed and laughed and laughed. He was uncontrollably laughing. And then Reinhard turned to me and he said, I want you to come and be my personal guest in Lagos next month. And you're going to sit on the platform with me at my crusade coming up. I said, what? And I look at John. And John goes, because I need his permission. And John goes, absolutely, Dunk. Absolutely. Carol and I are paying for the whole thing. Wow. 8 nights in the Sheraton Hotel, $500 a night. I stayed in the same hotel, ate at the same table as that great evangelist. Because Daddy heard my little prayer in the secret place. And it's the kind of prayer that he adores. And John said, Duncan, you're going. Carol and I are paying for everything. I said, John, I'm preaching at a church in Cranbrook, BC. He said, I don't care. You're not now. Cancel it. I said, John, I never cancel, ever, when I get a better offer. He said, Duncan, you are today. This is a God moment. You're not canceling, you're postponing. Postpone it. I'll phone them if necessary. And then he turned around and he said, Reinhard, it would be a great honor for me and an even greater honor for Duncan if you wouldn't mind laying your hands on his head and giving him the anointing that's in your life. Oh my gosh, I just cracked. See, that's what love does. That's what submitting your life to a loving spiritual father or mother will do for you one day. Because that's what mums and dads do for their kids. They make room for them. And I feel like the Holy Spirit just wants me to say for just a moment, pause on this. There are some of you, okay, that you're so independent-minded because you're believing the lie that you're a nothing and a nobody, that you're trying to prove to everybody, I'm a somebody! And you're trying to gain significance from what you do instead of who you are. And God wants you to just relax. You're the best that you can be. You're daddy's son and daddy's daughter. And you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to be significant in any shape or form. And you can submit yourself to your earthly leaders, knowing that there's not a single earthly leader on planet Earth that can stop Father God from putting you in whatever promotion he ever wants you to have. Wherever wants you to be in. The only thing that can stop God promoting you is not on the outside of you, it's you. Stop looking at everybody around you and thinking, well, if I could only get away from these guys, and if they could only see how amazing I am at work, and why doesn't anybody notice all my hard work in this office? Nobody sees what I do. Yes, they do. God sees everything, and he is nobody's debtor, and he will never ever let you outdo him in righteousness. Whew! So relax, everybody. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You're going to get the Holy Spirit on the outside of you even more tonight. You're going to get a double portion of anointing come on you tonight. And you're going to be phenomenally dangerous from tonight onwards. And you're going to change the world. And you don't need to be all rough and rebellious any longer. You don't need to be that little orphan any longer. You can be the awesome son that you are. You can, and that's what I love about this church. That's what I love about Route 61. That's what I love about A61. I love everything that you guys do. It's a spirit of sonship is just oozing out of this church. I've spent the last 2 days with the leadership of this church, and they're just, all of them, just full of the spirit of sonship. And that's what God wants to fill each of you with tonight, because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of sonship. And I realize that I've been preaching for a while tonight, but I just want to set you up for success in your life. And I've only got this moment with you. Tomorrow we go to Derby, and then Monday we go to America, where we live. That night, that afternoon, Reinhard Bonnke, I got down right away. Reinhard said, "Oh, John, it would be my pleasure. Come here, young man." And I came and I knelt down in front of him, and he put his hands on my head and he prayed heaven down on me. And heaven came on me so powerfully, I've never recovered. And I've never been the same. And every time I meet him, I tell him, "Reinhard, I want you to know that I'm using that anointing you gave me, that double portion, I'm using it with all my heart. I'm not doing crusade evangelism, because God told me to pour my life into just a few. But I want you to, and to teach them to pour their lives into a few, who teach them to pour their lives into a few, and so on and so on. But I want you to know I'm using that anointing with all my heart." He's, "Oh, yes, yes, Duncan. Oh, yes, yes." And I've become friends. That's why he's written on the back of my book. That's why it says in the foreword that Bill Johnson wrote. He says, "When I read the story of Reinhard, Duncan meeting Reinhard and putting his hands on him, I was in tears reading the story." You know what, guys? God wants to give you your anointing. Let's stand. Let's stand. And I just would like to ask if we can, if there's any way we can do something with all the chairs. Yeah,
just grab them. So listen, let's just take a minute and get ready for this. What I want you to do is I want you to stack the chairs that you're sitting on to the right-hand side, my right-hand side. So take a moment to gather your belongings and stack the chairs to the right-hand side and stay standing in the place that you were. So once you've stacked the chairs, stay standing in the place that you were. I want Calum. I want Luke. Luke, Calum. Lowry. Dan. I want you four guys to go behind people, okay? Okay, so where Duncan and Kate go, you four guys, if you guys can come over here, we're going to move the chairs over. I want... Dave, get moving some chairs, good man. Let's move all these chairs out of the way and then go back to where you were stood. Bless you.
You're never going to be the same again.
Okay, Luke and Caleb and Franco and Lowry, can you guys just come and follow wherever these guys go and catch? If you get into some,
going even more supernatural,
yeah. If you get into some lines now, and the guys are going to come and stand, pray with you, and there's going to be people behind you. So just get yourselves into some lines, make some space between each other. Everyone will get prayed for, so don't panic. Just be patient. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. So start. We're going to start over here. Okay.
We might not.
Okay, we're going to start.
We'll start
where you want.
Okay. That's good. That's good. You're right.
Shandaraba soto kitarabayende. The week before last, Sunday morning, not the last Sunday, but the Sunday before, Sunday morning, I was in that place of sleep where you're just about to awake. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And Reinhard Bonnke, who I haven't spoken to in maybe a year, no less than a year, last October, he was in our church in Toronto preaching. And he came in my dream. He came to me and sat on my bed. And he said, Duncan. Actually, he didn't say my name. He just looked at me. And I knew he was talking to me, obviously. He's sitting on my bed in the dream. And he said, do not forget the importance of tongues. That's all he said, Martin. And I knew that he was giving me a lifetime lesson that of one of the most powerful spiritual dynamics in his incredibly successful life, in which he's seen more than 70 million salvations. And he's saying to me, don't forget the importance of tongues. Well, let's start speaking in tongues. Those of you who speak in tongues, just start speaking in tongues. Those of you who have not spoken in tongues before, you're going to start speaking in tongues right now. Just close your eyes. Tune off from everybody else. Don't think about anybody else in the room. Open your mouth and just start speaking. And there's going to be a heavenly language. God's giving you a heavenly language. It's just bubbling up on the inside of you. Let it come out. Shandarabasoto kitarabayende. Rabashakenderebesoto kitarabayando. Jengarabayando. Press in a little bit longer. Inda robo shikanda rabasoto kitarabayende. Inda rabasoto kitarabayende. Use your heavenly language right now. The atmosphere is shifting. The atmosphere is shifting. The atmosphere is shifting in Middlesbrough. Thousands of people are going to be saved. Inda Thousands, I see thousands, I see thousands, I see thousands of people streaming, 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 streaming into the kingdom in the next 10 years over this whole northeastern area. The great awakening, revival fire falling on the northeast of England. Smith Wigglesworth anointing coming on you, coming on the churches, coming on you again. Oh. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Okay, now listen, everybody. Okay, we've just spoken in tongues, but you can't drink and speak at the same time. And now you're about to receive. This is not the moment to speak in tongues. This is the moment to receive. Okay, and I'm going to ask if maybe you could just put on a good CD, quietly, not loudly, in a minute. And what we're going to do is, Kate and I are going to start ministering. And just all we're going to do is, I'm not going to prophesy over you. We're just going to say, Holy Spirit, fire on this person. Fire on you. Fire, 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 like that. And we're going to give you the anointing. Now, I want you to realize, remember what I showed you in the illustration with Ian. When, and not just Reinhard, but many mighty men and women of God have laid hands on me, I've had the privilege, Kate has had the privilege, of being in one of the greatest centers of revival for the past 16 years. And we've met some of the most amazing men and women of God. And we've been hungry for your sakes. Hungry for your sakes. So that we come tonight fully loaded with way more than we deserve. With way more than we've ever earned. Way more because of the grace of God that's available for each of our lives. And we're going to lay hands on you. And for every one of you that are hungry and thirsty, God knows you. And that anointing, that thick, oily presence is going to come on you. And you are going to be upgraded in the Holy Spirit. And you are going to start seeing mighty signs and wonders. Not because Duncan Smith laid hands on you, but because the one that I carry has given you an impartation from his presence. Through me, through my hands, and through Kate's hands, through Kate, through our hands. Like I say, we're not going to prophesy over you. We're going to just take a moment. You don't need long, okay? A person who smokes a cigarette, they put that lighter to the end of the cigarette, and it only takes a second, and the cigarette's burning. Why? Because it's the nature of fire to burn. Shnda. Abba. Just pull Martin up a moment. Shika banga. Fire on him, Holy Spirit. Father, I know that he has so much, but Daddy, we just bless him and Margaret with every good and perfect gift that you've given us. We ask you to upgrade them significantly in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I ask that you'd give them a double portion of the anointing that's on my life, Kate's life, and all the lives of every person that's ever laid hands on us, mighty men and women of God, throughout the last 16 years. Father, in Jesus' name, we release it into them. Fire on them, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, let this whole church explode with revival fire. Shikabanga. And the best part of it, by the way, is if you're part of their church, you get that. You get it for free. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. All right. Okay. Maybe we will start at that end. And then just put the music on and we're just going to go. Now, listen, everybody. Don't watch. Watch God. Get hungry. It's going to take a while for us to make it all the way to you. You've got that time to get hungry. And if you're at the back, congratulations, you have even more time to get hungry and get thirsty. So get focused on God just for a moment. Focus on the Lord and just let him come. How much do you want him? Let me ask you something before we start praying. How many of you have asked God in the secret place for the anointing of the Holy Spirit? You've come. You've asked God in the past. Just raise your hand up to heaven right now. And you don't need to look around. But if you've been, okay, we're here for you tonight. Yes, and you see how Martin and Margaret, they're just laid out right here. They're not jumping up again, getting on with business. They're laid out in that oil. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is a thick oil, everybody. It takes time to soak in deep. So just take time on the floor. Don't start telling God this, that, and the other with your mouth. Just lay there and just let him. I mean, you could tell God whatever you want, that you're his friend. But what I mean by that is just drink. Just let it come. Take time on the floor. Just let it come. Good one.